Okay, we are on Pei Amud Aleph. And we just got finished saying, the Chiddush of the Pei Yeshua, that if somebody does, this is, by the way, the Gemara will identify the Tana as a mayor who says this halacha, that if you write the get, l'shem malchus shein hegenes, it's a psul deraisa, according to Rashi. And we explained to Pei Yeshua because Gittner also done a dai to Rabbanon. Now we are moving on. We are in Pei Amud Aleph, the fourth line from the top. Shina Shema Yishma. If he wrote the wrong name, Shem Iroi v'Shem Ira. He wrote the wrong city for him and the wrong city for her. Teitzei Muzeh Mizeh V'Chol Adrochem Ve'Eluba. She goes out, the same thing happens. Again, the get is puzzled, and here the Rishayim seem to learn Isa. Because, depends. There's different degrees of Shina Shema Yishma. Pashtus, if you write the wrong name, it's the wrong get. A get has to tell you the story, who's divorcing whom. So if the guy's name is Avram, and he's divorcing Leah, right, and the get says that his name is Yitzchak, and he's divorcing Rachel, right, so it's not the right get. That's the Raisa. The Chiddush over here of Shina Shema Yishma is from Gamliel Meir Takana, that you have to use the name in the place that he is. That if he has two names, right? He has two names, one in Galil and one in Yehuda, you have to use the name that he is in the place where they write to get, and write the Chol Shum the Eshle and all other names that he has. So that's included in Shina Shema Yishma. That might be a Drabanan, according to Rashi, would be a Deraisa, but that's a heavy, because that's part of recognizing who wrote the get. Shem Malchus is a beautiful thing. We like to make the Goyim happy with us. We'll never succeed anyway, but we try our best. But the Shina Shema Yishma is in the Etzem get. We're playing around with the get telling us the story of who's divorcing whom. Now, Shem Ira is a big machloikus v'shainim. The Mishnah sounds like you have to write, that Shimon from the city of Beechwood is divorcing his wife, Rachel, who lives in East Cleveland, right? That's Ira in Ira, right? You have to write the name of his city in her city. Is that necessary biblically? Is that, what if you don't write any city? Is it only because you write the wrong city? See, the wrong city is a problem. Because Shimon from Beechwood, and Shimon doesn't live in Beechwood, you've identified the wrong guy. That's a biblical problem. But what if you don't write any city? You just write, Shimon is divorcing Rachel. And you don't say where Shimon lives and where Rachel lives. But the Mishnah makes it sound, if you change the city, how about if there's no city? So there's Machlokes Rishayim three ways. Some learn it's Pesul D'Oraisa, some learn it's Pesul D'Rabbanan, some learn it's not possible at all. Interestingly enough, this is one thing we don't do. In Halacha L'maisa, we do not identify the city of the husband and the city of the wife, because we say even those Rishayim will hold you need it, are only when people were kavu in a city. But today, since we are moving and going and we're never stationary anyway, so they dropped it because they figured they'd make more problems. They'd say Shimon from Beechwood, and meanwhile Shimon decided to move somewhere else, and nobody remembers he's the guy Shimon from Beechwood, he's not from Beechwood. So this is the one halacha that the halacha changed, no chumrah, adarabah. We say no city, because today's city wouldn't be an identifier, because there's a lot of totulim, people move and they go, and they're not necessarily in the same place, and we'd make problems by identifying a city, and then we won't know who the guy Shimon is. Nobody lives in Beechwood that's named Shimon, so it must be, we don't know. So we don't write a city. That's the one thing, interestingly enough, that we don't do in halacha. But the Mishnah says, you change the city. That everybody holds as a novel. Because then you're misidentifying the person. If you're writing a Shimon from Beechwood and he lives in Solon, so you haven't identified the right Shimon, and people won't know who the husband is. So besides that, we don't write any city, which according to many Rishayim is the way to do it. According to other Rishayim, they held that you should do it with the city, but given the fact that today people are more transitory, if that's the correct word, we don't like to write a city.
So even Shina Shema, there's still those that say it's only
Drabana? It depends which way. If he writes the wrong name, it's a Deraisa. But if he uses the name in Galil, Yehuda and Yehuda and Gaul, that might not be a deraisa. Because he does have two names. That was Hiskin of Gamliel by the thing I
saw. Yesterday we said
this,
Rashi's going deraisa.
Again, it might turn into a deraisa because of what Rashi said.
Right.
But this might be a deraisa according to everybody, even those who don't agree to Rashi, as I'm trying to say.
Today we do kinuyim.
Right, we do kinuyim, correct.
Every possible name.
Not every possible, but they write. They write whatever the guy's called, correct. Today part of the research of a get is the Rav calls the person and finds out what it's called. And interestingly enough, again, from my first get I ever watched, I was 15 years old, the Masada Gittin, the woman's name was Dorothy. Now,
Dot.
That was also true, but she was named Mechuda Dot. That's true.
Remember you said that?
I know, but that's not the case I'm talking about. The Rav was a New Yorker. The Gap was written in Baltimore. And the question is it Dorothy or Dorothy? Dorothy is spelled Dalet Aleph Resh. Dorothy is spelled Dalet Vav Resh.
Oh, wow.
So the Rav called a whole bunch of people in Baltimore to ask them to pronounce the name. In Baltimore, they say Dorothy. In New York, they might say Dorothy.
Yeah.
In Boston, they say Dorothy, you know, whatever it is. They're totally out. Oh, totally whacked out. But this makes a difference in the spelling of the get. So I still remember the Rav calling people, asking them to say the name, because he had to know how to spell the name. He did that before the get. He did it the week before. I remember he called me and said, say the word. What's her name? I said, Dorothy. You know, he said, okay, you know, you have to check the Baltimoreans. I'll say Dorothy, which we do. We all say Dorothy. I think in Cleveland they would say Dorothy as well.
The way she spelled it.
You write the get. What do you mean, in Hebrew? Well, since when did Dorothy ever spell her name in Hebrew? Her name is, in Hebrew, Devira Leah. And her English name is Dorothy.
But that was spelled with an Aleph.
Yes. Correct. How do you spell Dorothy in Hebrew? And her tshuva doesn't say Dorothy. And probably she didn't have a coaching tshuva to begin with, this lady, anyway, but that's not the point.
Why didn't it have it?
I didn't give Musa Shmuz when I was 15 years old. I had not yet achieved the level of giving Musa Shmuz. Yes.
Aren't you glad you're not my rabbi? The most stopped I've ever seen the Rosh Hashanah of Chaim's Pano Vracha was when I asked him to daven for my mother for a surgery. I asked what the name was, and I said, Cynthia Bas Marie. And he was trying to figure out what he did. And my father's Yahrzeit is coming up. Who's William Ben William, and it's just spelled out in English on the books I donate. Why can't you say, yeah, you know what the answer is. Yeah, it's just an all nickname.
They do that sometimes. They try to say, I don't know what it's getting my mind, but that's what they do. They try to, there's Miskari and Mechuna. Miskari is an English name. They would say Miskari. It's not a nickname. And then Mechuna is the nicknames. Dot is not her name. Dot is a nickname. Okay. Bye, sir. So, thank you, Ms. Evans. I'm going to call Dr. May Luba. Zuck Trashy. Shinishma Shma Begat. The call of Dr. May Luba. I'm for Russian Lamar Luba Mishnah Sin. Now, the Mishnah lists a bunch of other cases that, again, create a problem. Call on Rayish Amrutzer Esay Multaris. Back in the Vamas Ekhtesi Vamas, we said a person can be married to a woman, and if he dies without children, there's no need for Yibum Mechalitza, because the woman is an Erevah to his brother. So let's say Shimon married Levi's daughter, and then Shimon died without children. Levi's daughter does not need Yibum or Chalitza from Levi. Not only does she not need Chalitza or Yibum from Levi, but the co-wife also is Pater. We learned that out of Masechtas Yevamos. The Kolarai Shamru Tzereseya Mutaris. Their co-wife can go out without Chalitza and Yibum. Now what happened is, Hochu Atzaras Eilu V'nisu. The co-wife got married. Why not? She was told that she doesn't need chalitza and yibum, right? The rabbi paskened that since one of the wives is an erva to the brother, that brother can't do yibum or chalitza to that erva. Therefore, there's no need of chalitza and yibum for the tzara. That's what we learned in Masechta Yevamot. However, Benimtzu Ailu Ailanus. But we found out 5 years later that the daughter was an Ailanus. And an Ailanus means she was never married to the brother. It was a Mekachtos. And since it was a Mekachtos, the Tzara was not a Tzara's Erva. That means she was a Yevama that married Lashuk. She was a Yevama that married somebody that she wasn't allowed to marry. But more than that, it's going like Rabbi Akiva, Rashi says, who says that Ein Kedushin Taisin B'chayv Elavim. So really, her marriage to the second one was not a marriage, because she violated a lav. She married as a Yevama, even though it was B'shrei Yigamer. She thought she was allowed to, she thought she was not a Yevama, but she was a Yevama. We found out now that retroactively she was never a Tzara's Erva. The Erva was never married.
So she had a Zika?
She had Zika. So Tetzimizamizam, she cannot, I'm sorry. Right, so she cannot stay with her husband because the marriage was never a marriage anyway, and she can't go back to the Yavam because the Gemara will explain why. That the Gemara will leave it to the Gemara. And she's all no ksuba, no peris, the whole 9 yards that we said before. Rashi. That the Kedushin of the mace was a mistake. Didn't get putter. This is only like Rabbi Akiva, because why are you making the kid a mamzer? Why is the kid a mamzer? It's a lav. It's going like Rabbi Akiva. Dama yesh mamzer mechayv elavim. Who says that even chayv elavim produce a mamzer? So therefore, the kid from the second marriage, meaning not the yavam, is a mamzer because he's a chayv elavim. He's married yavam elashuk. Kedusha wasn't typhus, he had children, they're mamzerim. The Yavam can't take her back, we'll see why in the Gemara. We haven't gotten to that part.
Who was Zion?
The Erva.
This one was the second wife.
Shimon is married to two wives.
Right.
One of them is an Erva to his only brother, Levi. So when Shimon dies, Levi can't do Yibum to the Erva, or Chalitza. And not only is she putter from Chalitza Yibum, but we learn at Masechtas Yevamos that the co-wife is also putter. So both wives are told of Shimon, you don't need Yibum and Chalitza, you can get married because one of you was an Erva to Levi, and therefore both of you are putter from Chalitza Yibum. That's the halacha.
Right, but if you have two wives, and one is an
islander,
you're allowed to...
We didn't know anything about islanders. So we told both of these women, feel free to marry somebody else. One of them went married. Not the Erva. Then we find out that the Erva was an islandess, which means she never was married to the brother, because it was a Mekachtos. A person that marries a woman and she ends up being an islandess is not married to him. He didn't know she was an islandess.
But if you know she's an islandess.
That's a different story. That's not the case here. Nimtzu islandess. What happened was the guy died. And 5 years later, we found out, if we knew she was an island, it would be a different story. We know he never married this woman. He had no idea she was an islandess. It's a Mekachtos. If it's a Mekachtos, it means he only had one wife, and she was not an Erva, and she needed Jibum. Meanwhile, she married as the Yevama Lashuk, which is a Chayv Elavim, which we Paskin does not produce a Mamzer, but Rabbi Akiva holds Yesh Mamzer Mechayv Elavim. So therefore, the kid is a Mamzer, and she goes back to the Yevam, it would be a mamzer midrabbana. If she has Yibum afterwards. Now that she found out she needs Yibum. Or Chalitza.
In the interim, she was married to Shuk?
Yeah, she was allowed to. They told her she's allowed to.
Okay, so why would she do Yibum with Chalitza?
If she does Chalitza, she's fine. But she didn't. What would happen if she did Yibum? It's his brother's wife.
I understand. He could do Yibum after she's already...
The Mishnah says not. We don't know why not.
shouldn't let Tefillah do that.
Why not?
I didn't know that he even works when somebody...
Why not? So that's what gives us... I said, let's wait for the Gemara. We'll discuss it. That's what I said.
There's only where the two people are.
Right there. Next. Hakainis is Yiventai. A guy married his Yibum. So again, Shimon had two wives, and he died, and Levi did Yibum to one of them. Perfectly did the mitzvah satira. And again, the co-wife went and got married. There was Yibum done. The nimtzu zushai islandess. Then we find out that the one he did Yibum to was an islandess. That means he was never married to the deceased brother. That means Yibum was not done. That means the tzara is a Yavama Lashuk. Again, not by her fault, but fact is fact. The Gemara Yavama says she's to blame. She should have waited to see whether the co-wife is an islandess. She should wait to the age. At 20, a woman develops Shemani islandess. So she should have waited. Wait and see if your co-wife is an islandess. She didn't, so we punish her. That's the halacha. So Tzeh Mizem Mizem, the Chaz Racham Be'elubah. So Trashi, Tzeh Mizem Mibal Shanisis Lai, Mizem and Ayav, the Chaz Racham Be'elubah. We did that already. The Chaz Racham Be'elubah, the Chaz Racham Be'elubah, the Chaz Racham Be'elubah. And we know that if you miyabim one, the pot is the other. V'nim tzuzushin is siyabim ha'ilanus, v'eilo yivumim, sharlo yeshis ha'meisaisa. The yivum didn't count. She was never married. V'nim tzuzushin is tzurasa. But this is l'shut b'loi chalitza. Teitzim yizem yizem, yibal zem yivam ha'rishna. So the truth is, and again, this is the Gemara Yivam ha'sari, you know, that we're putting a burden on every one of these women. So if Shimon dies and leaves over three wives, and Levi decides to do Yibum to woman A, and she's a Ketana, and she does not have Shtei Saras, the other two wives would be better off, it would be prudent for them, not to get married till they find out, is this girl going to develop Shtei Saras? Let's say she's 11. Well, wait and see. She's 12. Does she have Shtei Saras? If she doesn't, hold off till 20 to see if she's an islandess. There's some money islandess. So, yes, it's a burden, you know, but that's life. If not, you're not free. So, you know, take your chances. And what happens is, if you took your chances and you struck out. What?
Like one of the cases where Ashma died with crack.
Right.
No, but you don't think the Rav would say, go out the road?
I guess not. That's not law, because the Gemara says, you buy a little of a mitzvah. I'm telling you what the Gemara says. Because the Gemara asked your kasha.
That's not...
Come to the Gemara's Kasha.
You forgot it.
I'm sorry.
Rebbe,
is there anybody answering here first?
I don't know. Next case. Custom Seifer Get Leish, the Seifer Leisha. The Seifer wrote a get to the man, and he gave the woman a receipt that when she receives her ksuba, she can give her husband the receipt. V'ta, and he made a mistake. V'nasa Get Leisha, the Seifer Leish. And he handed the wrong document to the wrong person. The nustazel is that. The husband gave her what he thought was the get and was really the receipt. And the woman gave the husband what she thought was the receipt and gave him the get. Now, and then, 5 years later, the woman's a married woman, she has two kids, and all of a sudden the husband looks and says he has the get. And she has the receipt.
She ever have to get? Never.
No.
He gave her.
He gave the documents to the two people and says, "Here's your get, here's your receipt." And he gave the wrong one to the wrong person. And in front of Adam, they exchanged documents, the double ring ceremony, and a double document ceremony, and they got the wrong ones. And 5 years later, the woman looks and she doesn't have a get; she has a receipt, and he has the get. I mean, she never got divorced. That's her fault. She should have had to get read before she gets married. Check it out. So the halacha is, Teitzim Mizem Mizem,
V'chol Drachim Me'eluba. Who's the safer here? Who's Nathan? That makes sense. He gave both to the husband first?
No, he didn't. He gave one to one and one to the other. He gave the wrong one to each person.
Wouldn't the Baal have to give it to the wife?
Again, the cipher is writing two documents, a get and a receipt. He's supposed to hand the husband the get and hand the woman the receipt. And then the husband gives the wife the get, and the wife gives the husband the receipt for a ksuba. That's what's supposed to happen. So what happens is, each of them get a document from the cipher, and nothing's happened yet. And then they have a double document ceremony.
And further get.
Exactly.
And she
gave it to them. Oh, okay. So the halacha is, Taitse mizeh mizeh, v'mal drachem eiluba. Rashi, cause the cipher echad get l'ish, l'garish, v'ishtoi, v'cipher l'ishtoi, and a receipt to the woman, she timtse l'bal, k'shifu l'ksubasa. V'ta'a, cipher k'shubasa l'nashtaris, the cipher made a mistake. V'nasin get l'ish, v'cipher l'ish, v'im mashruzel l'zeh. And they handed it to each other. She thinks it was a get. And then all of a sudden, he shows us his receipt for a get. He takes a look. He says, I have a receipt that I paid her to Ksuba. And he opens up the document and it's a get. And he runs to his former wife, who's now married with two kids, and says, I think we had a mistake here. So the law is taken to me, Samus, Abacha, Drachem, Eluba. The Blazer, I mer, in Baalta Yatza, Ain Zeget. And what Baalta is, the Gemara will discuss. In Baachas Man Yatza, Ain Zeget. We're afraid that really he gave her to get. And now he decides to mess up the second marriage. Or she wants out of the second marriage. So she gets her husband to switch documents with her first husband. And then claimed that he never divorced her. Now, why a woman would want to do that is beyond me, and why a husband would agree to do that is even beyond me more, but this is what we're afraid of, and therefore, like a menom in a rishon l'abetz chusav shosheni. Rashi. So, Rashi, l'altam gemar mefarish, like a menom, ein hakol but kedvarov, l'aminai. We don't assume that he's right. L'abetz chusav shosheni shenasad. I mean, a knunye he b'neim. Again, what the incentive for this is, I don't know. Maybe he thinks he can take her back, which he can't, but maybe he thinks he can, and this would be a nice way to get her back. It wouldn't be Magzib Rushasai. There was never a second marriage. I don't know why he did this, but this is what he did, yes.
The woman knows what happened. And she knows that this was no obvious marriage.
Well, this is the problem. What if a woman was Mizana? There's no Adam, and she tells her husband, I'm usher to you. I was Mizana. The halacha is that we don't believe her. And she stays married, even though she knows she's living in sin. Nothing we can do, because we're afraid that she made up the story, but she wants out of the marriage. It's going in the Durham, end in the Durham. We'll get there in Rosh Hashem and Daf. We'll get there in Dershon one day, too, but it's a little bit further off. But, yeah, it's an interesting point.
The kids are...
By the way, again, I will just say this over without knowing what I'm talking about, like usual. This is a story that happened that I know of. This is why I know the psak. A woman was Mizana, and her husband did not know she was Mizana. And the rabbi was asked whether she... And the rabbi was asked whether she has to tell her husband that she was Mizana. And the psak was, from a Reb David Cohen in New York, there's a Divrei Chaim that says that if she doesn't initiate a relationship, she's just karka ilam. She doesn't initiate relationships, she doesn't tell her husband. Chiddush nifla. So as when I left the story many, many years ago, they were still married, and the husband still didn't know that his wife was Mizana. And that was the psak they got, that the Divrei Chaim that says that as long as she doesn't initiate a relationship, and she's karka oilam, she's not mechuyev to tell her husband. Something to that effect. And again, I don't want to paskin halacha l'maaseh. I'm just saying that's what happened.
She was raped.
No. She was mizana.
At karka oilam, she was.
You know, there are people that do Avera. She did an Avera. She was an Eitz Ish, and she was Mizana with another member of this rabbi show. He's the one that told me the story.
But she's Mechoyt to tell the husband or not
Mechoyt
to tell the husband?
There was not Mechoyt. Under certain circumstances, I'm not Paschal Lachal Amos.
But what did you say?
So the hard part was the guy who was Mizana with her, his wife, did know that her husband was Mizana with another woman. And she went to the rabbi asking if she has a heter that she can go be Mizana to get even with him.
Wow.
He did not give her a heter.
There's a law called a man can't marry two wives. So if he's Mizana, well, this was a married woman too.
Take his ish.
Yes.
It's a chiv chenek. It's not a joke. It's the real thing.
Is that his wife, really?
If he knows, he didn't know. That his wife was Mizana. Nobody ever told him.
But the man who was Mizana, he stayed with his wife?
Why not? He didn't marry his second wife. A husband doesn't become Asur for being Mizana. Only a woman becomes Asur for being Mizana.
The corner we have today, he's not allowed to marry two wives.
Not me, he didn't marry her. He couldn't marry if she's an anxious itch, because Uchin's not typhus. Anyway.
This relates to a question I asked years ago when I was in Sosa, which is if a husband takes a wife to the base of Mikdash, drinks the Sosa water, but he himself has certain bad habits.
It won't work. So
he now takes her back home.
Exactly. And he's allowed to live with her.
They continue to live with her.
Yes.
But
that's life. That's life.
And I asked someone about it. I know who it was. I'm lucky on the name. But he said, on your way there, didn't you go through Daf Beis? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, what's it say on Daf Beis? The person that's exotic never comes on a wife with a sofa.
That's true also.
So essentially, his fault.
Don't think about it. My Malchus ain't again. Who is this Malchus that's considered unworthy? Don't think about it. Malchus Haraimim, the Roman Empire. By my Karle, Malchus ain't again. What makes them an unworthy kingdom? They don't have their own ksav, their own lettering, and they don't have their own language. And therefore, they are not a real nation. There are 70 languages, and I guess along with each language came its own set of letters, different alphabets, ABs, whatever you want to call them. Right, like the Chinese have their lettering and the Russians have their lettering. They're different letterings. The Romans don't have their own. They borrow from other nations. Now, this is what the Gemara is saying. And therefore, they're considered an unworthy kingdom. Now, the Sasemis explains, and again, just saying over what the Masifta Gemara brought from the Sasemis, that every nation has a Shaychus to Kedusha. And their Shaychus to Kedusha manifests itself in Ksav and Lashon. And Rome, Esav, is Sutton. And therefore, it doesn't have their own Ksav and Lashon. They're further removed from Kedusha. That's what the Sfasama says. I'll just leave it at that. I thought I would have learned, Lulei the Sfasama, that Esav is not one of the 70 nations. 70 nations are not Avraham Avinu's children. Yishmael and Esav are not part of the 70 nations. So Ksav and Lashon are given to the 70 nations. They're not one of the 70 nations. And therefore, they don't have their own Ksav and Lashon. Except my problem with my chat is that Yishmael does have its Ksav and Lashon. At least the Gemara doesn't say about Yishmael, it's a Malchus Sheinei Genes. So, seems that I'm wrong. But that's how I always understood it. That 70 nations got 70 Lashonis and 70 Ksavim. Esav is not a 70 nations. Esav is from Avraham Avinu, who influences 70 nations, and Yishmael influences 70 nations, 35 apiece. Right, but the bottom line is, they're not part of the 70 nations. The Gros says it in Sukkot, right, we bring 70 Purim for the 70 nations, and Seir Izim, and Seir Lechatos, one is Esav and one is Yishmael, because they're not part of the 70 nations. They influence the 70 nations. Right, Yishmael influences half the world, and Esav influences half the world, Catholicism, Christianity, and Islam. But that's why I thought. But my problem is the Gemara does not say it about Yishmael. So I'll just leave it right there and then. Anyway.
What does Av Hamon Goyim mean?
Father of the multitude of nations.
And these are nations that are...
Again, and father of the multitude of nations doesn't mean he gave birth to them. Av Hamon Goyim means he was recognized as the leader of the world by all the nations. That's all it means. There's nothing to do with this. Don't think about that, Jeff. Amr Ula. Now, by the way, the Aruch is bothered by this. He says they have Latin. What does that mean? They don't have their own Lashon. They do have Latin.
No Roman numerals, right? X, V.
But that's numerals. That's not...
Right.
That's not the lettering. So the Aruch is bothered by this, and therefore he says that the Malchus... Again, I'm just quoting. Malchus Raimi split into two. And there was the Albanese. I don't know what that is. Albanese. And he said the Albanese were a chelik of Malchus Raimi that did not have their own Lashon and their own Ksav. That's the Malchus Ein Hegenes of the Romans. The other Malchus Raimi did have their own Lashon. Again, this is the Aruch, he's a Rishon. That's how he learns this Gemara. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Yes.
There's another way which used to explain Rosh Hashanah Masif, and Rosh Shlomo Volva said something similar on a different subject, is that every nation gets their own Hishpa through the Tsar of that nation, that Amalek does not have a Tsar. And that's why at the end of the day, it vanishes like smoke. There's no top of it.
Okay, same idea.
Yeah, we can call that same.
Yeah. I was Medayik from the Lashon and Megillah. Medina, Medina, Kichsava, Va'am, Va'am, Kilshainai. It seems that Ksava is Halach in Medina. And Lashon is Halach in Am. Right? Right? There's an Indian that every Am has a Lashon. It's a Din in Am. And Ksav is a din in Medina. Medina, Medina, Ksav, Va'am, Va'am, Kilshainai. Not that it's just pointed that out. Right. That's the Gemara, right? Ula, Amr Ula. But they ma tiknu Malchus begitten. Mishum Shalom Malchus. Frank the Gemara, Mishum Shalom Malchus, Taitsev Avad Bamzer? Because the Shalom Malchus were willing to passel the get, in the way Rashi learns, make it possible with the Raisa? The Gemara in Remeir Lutamed Amar Rav Hunhuna Mishmei the Ula Amar Remeir Kamishanim Madbei Shetavu Chachamim Begitna Vlad Mamzer. You don't listen to the Chachamim; they make a Vlad Mamzer. The Chachamim disagree with that. This is Remeir's opinion, and therefore the Mishnah is saying they violated this rabbinic law of Shalom Malchus, which is rabbinic law. You violated, gone. End of story. Not again. Rashi. Shein Lamusav Lush No Mishum Umar Cheres Mishum Shalom Malchus. They should say, oh, the Jews think we're important. They write their stories in our name. They recognize our greatness of our empire. Well, the way Rashi learns, right, exactly.
But that means all the time it says that, it depends on the situation?
Well, Rashi seems concerned it's always a deraisa. In Remeir.
Yeah, I'm saying
Rashi seems to say it's always a deraisa. We don't have a case that Rashi said it's only drabbanan. Not everybody agrees to Rashi. A lot of Rishonim learn that mamzim means mamzim and drabbanan. Not Mamzim the Raisa. The other ones who argue in Rush. That's the Gemara back to. The Shum Malchus Yavan. Now what bothers the Gemara is, why did the Mishnah need all these cases? Malchus Yen Egenes, Madai, Yavan, Binyan Abayas, Chorban Abayas. Just say, if you didn't write it to the Malchus, you're in. End of story. What does the Mishnah have to give you examples? Right, we're talking about a person that's in Bavo. That's what Rashi told us in the Mishnah. And he's writing it for the Roman Empire, or the Median Empire, or the Greek Empire, or Churban Abayis, or Binyan Abayis. Why did Mishnah have to give you all those cases? That's the Gemara Tzricha. Yes, me the Malchus and again, it's Mishnah Melicha. I would think the bubble kingdom is maximum of the Roman Empire because they're current. While they are ruling in bubble, the Romans are ruling in Eretz Yisrael and elsewhere. And therefore, it's a very upsetting thing to sit in bubble and write to the Roman Empire. That's a chutzpah, that's a rebellion. You're recognizing a different current empire. Abu Malchus, Mada, Malchus, Javan, Mada, Havahava. Mada and Javan are gone. Why would the bubble king care if you're counting to a non-existent empire? It's like writing in America to the empire of the Navajo Indians.
It's a disrespect, though.
But you would think maybe they don't care about such things. At least it was a kingdom, and therefore it's a disrespect. Why would they care if you count to the binyan of Beis HaMikdash? Long gone. The Jews are still interested in their praise. They're still thinking Judaism. Churban Abayas, the tzarahu. Churban Abayas is a tzar. It's not a good thing. They're counting to Churban HaBayis. Let them count to their destruction. Emelai, Tzricha. That's why the Mishnah told us. All of these are Kepedis. Rashi. Mishim Demlicha Akshav. Himelechas Akshav. Himelechas. Lefichu Hiskana Bahamelech Shemalchazu. Gets upset. V'yak B'dimonu. Ma'adav Havikvar. Avru V'avdu Kinasam. Nothing to be jealous anymore. Shem Hiskana Bahem. They're not around. Nobody's jealous of the Greek Empire. Now the Tzadim Asnishin Shemalchus Mother of Yavin Shemayna Leminyin Sheshchila Mother Limlich Remeid Ayovish or Leminyin Sheshchila Yavin Limlich. They're gone. There's no Median Empire anymore. There's no Greek Empire anymore. The Yikishay Malchus Hukichashina Dilma Kapit HaMelech Lezeh. Maybe the king is Machmet. But Churban HaBayis Binyan HaBayis, therefore each one takes a Kiddush along with it. Dr. Gemara Vayter Hayy B'Mizrach V'Kastim B'Mayrev. Mishnah said he was in the east and wrote in the west. Man, who was in the east and was written in the west? Ilei Mabau, Hainu Shina Shema Yishma Shemira V'Shemira. If the husband lived in the east and you wrote he's in the west, that means you changed the city. And we have that case later on. Ela Lav Sefer. The Sefer has to write where he is. And if he wrote the wrong place where he is, that's how the Mizrach because of the Meirav. Because Amar L'Rav L'Safrei, like Rav told his cipher. V'chein Amar L'Hu, Ravuna L'Safrei, and Ravuna told his cipher. Ki asvisu b'shili, ksuvi b'shili. When you're in Shili, write Shili. V'yavagav demimshu l'hu mili b'hini. Even though the husband told you in Hini to write it, don't write what he told you, write where you are. Hini and Shili were two neighboring towns. And Rav told the cipher, don't write where the husband met you in Shul and told you to write to get. Write where you are writing it. So if you went to Shul in Hini and the husband meets you and says, oh, do me a favor, write a get to my wife, and you go back home to Shili, write Shili. I, the husband, told you in Hini, that doesn't make a difference. We're writing where the get is written. Shem Ira would need to properly identify where he comes from and where she comes from. This is where the cipher is writing it, Rashi. Zot Rashi, Kasisu Behini Lichtuv Star, Kisu B'Teicha Shebehini Nichtuv, V'Yavagav D'Mimsra. Okay. Zot Tikamar Vait. What?
Not about the
Baal himself
at all.
That's Eroi and Ira. That the Mishnah said you have to write his city and her city. Again, we don't do that. We don't write cities anymore.
This case
is the cipher because the husband's in the next case. Not because it doesn't apply to the husband, because the husband's covered in the next case.
We don't write the cities where they originated from because not necessary anymore.
I addressed the issue. I don't know if you were here. I said that this is one of the interesting things that the Achrayim say, that the Paiskim say, early Paiskim, that we're transitory. And by writing a city, you create problems. See, if you write Shimon from Beechwood, and meanwhile he moved to Solon, you'll get all confused. So it's better not to write the city. It's an interesting thing, because the Mishnah wants you to write the city. It's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say the Mishnah never wanted you to write the city, just didn't want you to write the wrong city. Other rishonim said the Mishnah wanted you to write the city. But the bottom line is that today we don't do it, because it's to make more problems than solve problems.
But the city that it's written in is always written.
Always there. Still there. Again, that's how the get starts. It says the date and the city. Next to a river, that's to identify the city, because there are many Clevelands. So we say, B'masa Cleveland, the Yassar, and the Harka Yehoga. So that was Rabbi Grumer's Chumrah. He held that Cleveland Heights is not on the Cuyahoga River. Cleveland is on the Cuyahoga River. Cleveland Heights is a different city. So Rabbi Grumer did all his getting in Cleveland proper. He rented a room, or he went to the Hill House. He did different places. On Sinai, yeah. He did getting there because he did not want it done in Cleveland Heights, because Cleveland Heights doesn't have its own river, and he didn't. Rabbi Blum's father, Paskins, that Cleveland Heights is considered part of Cleveland, and therefore you can write the Yosef and the Harka Yehoga, which is what Rabbi Bernstein does today. Rabbi Blum does. Rabbi Blum writes Gittin, and Rabbi Bernstein does Gittin. They both do it in Cleveland Heights. And there's Simach on the Pesach, the Cleveland Heights, an extension of Cleveland. The Raya is, if you write Cleveland on the mail, it'll get to Cleveland Heights.
Every city has a river associated
with it? The right, again, you have to have a river associated. You don't write Gittin in cities that don't have rivers.
In other words, they're living in the middle of the desert area.
It's a big problem. They would have to travel to a place where there's a river and have the get written there. The husband doesn't have to be there. The wife doesn't have to be there. The cipher has to be there.
It has to be written there.
Right.
So this part of the Mishnah, though, is not from east to west, but not where they hail from, right? Is that what he... Mizrah.
Where the cipher is. He writes where he is now, not where they hail from.
So this is identifying the place that the get is written.
Correct.
Whereas later, the Mishnah is talking about where they're coming from.
Exactly. Exactly. Because one has to do with where the get is written, and one has to do with identifying the husband.
Is the river a derisa? Why did they write river here?
It doesn't. I don't know where it came from. That's the halacha lemaisa. In Baltimore, they used to write the month of Baltimore, the Yosef on the Har Patapsco. Chesapeake Bay was put in there too. Mayanois and all other things. That's what they write. Yes.
Yeah,
is there a river there?
No, it's a stream that goes underneath. Around. Well, we all think it's a water tower.
Is that good enough? I don't know if it was written. I will not comment. I don't know. So if Yankov did it, he knew exactly what he was doing.
We have a river that goes to the lake. We have the Don Brook, and then there's Yuba Creek.
Again, I'm just telling you, they write out in the Haki Yoga. That's what they do in the Gittin in Cleveland.
Not a river. You need something maybe more substantial.
Could be.
Creek.
Colton Park. And the county.
What? Not written. It's the Master Cleveland, the Yasuo, and the Haki Yoga. And you have to know how to write Cuyahoga, which I don't know how to do, but I'm just saying that. This is also a big problem because when the Yidden came from Europe, they pronounced cities differently than we do. New York was the way people called New York. New York. So they used to write, I don't know what they do today, Nun Yud Vav and York, Yud Aleph Resh Kuf. Today, everybody calls it New York. New is Nun Vav Aleph. So I don't know what they do. But Lemaisa, when they started writing Gittin in New York, it was Nev York. That's how the Yidden referred to it. They live in Nev York. They always say they live in New York. They say they live in Nev York. So it affected the spelling of Gittin. Baltimore was spelled Baltimora because it has an E at the end. So in the beginning, they used to write... Yes, the must of Baltimore, because the E at the end, for Yidden, if it's Baltimore has an E, why would it have a silent E? Obviously, it's Baltimore. They lived in Baltimore. Now, I don't know if they ever changed to Gittin Lemaisa, but that's how they used to write Baltimore, because in English, it had the silent E at the end. We write Cleveland. We don't write Cleveland. With an iron. I think they write Cleveland. I'm not sure how they do it. I have to try to burn it. Cleveland. Nobody calls it Cleveland. The Yidden called it Cleveland when they came. They lived in Cleveland. But now we live in Cleveland. It's a different spelling of the word. I don't know if they changed it or not. I have no idea. We have to stop here.